You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Infinite complacence. People went to and fro the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space.
So on this edition of Into the Fray, I am here with Tim Moon and his brother, Joe. Tim is the author of the fictional book Tomato Fields, but it is based upon the real-life encounters his brother Joe has had with specifically Bigfoot. But today, we will be discussing not only that, but also UFOs and ghost experiences as well. Now, some of these experiences, Joe, right? They're yours alone, but others are, in fact, shared between the two of you. So first, welcome to the show, guys. And second, maybe we can begin where, Tim, you told me in the email that Joe is essentially a magnet for the paranormal. Now, do one of you guys want to start there and discuss? I mean, we know what that means, but does that mean that this runs in the family? Who else in the family has this? Is it kind of just Joe? Well, maybe we could start there if one of you guys wants to take that.
What I'll go ahead and start. What I meant by that was that he's had a lot of experiences, and I've heard that some people just do have more experiences than others, and there is something behind that. And so I was thinking that maybe they're like magnets to the paranormal, and if someone is, it's Joe. He's had a lot of different experiences, and I've had a few, but nothing near to what he's had. So that's what I meant. Joe, you can add to that.
Well, I mean, when we were little, it started when I was like five or something. So, and Tim knows this because we were in the same house. And anyway, I would see this little boy following my dad around, and it just kind of bugged me. Because I mean, I didn't know the little, it just kind of bugged me. I see it all the time. One time, the little boy, my dad went into the bathroom and I was in the bedroom. And I could look through the door. And I saw the little boy walk right behind him into the bathroom. So I got up and went in there. It was gone. So at that point, I mean, I was just a little kid at that point. So,
but then things have happened throughout life that have only happened a little bit in mine. So, but as you go through the stories, you'll hear that. So that's what I meant though by a magnet. So
really nobody else in the family on either side has much going on?
My mom may have, but she died when we were young, when I was in my 20s. So I can't remember because I didn't talk to her very, very much about it. But no one else other than Joe and me have had much in that regard.
So that little ghost, well, that little ghost boy, just really quick, did anybody else see that ghost boy?
I think my mom did. And there was like stuff, the water would come on downstairs, stuff like that. I remember that. The dryer would come on. I remember one time we were in the living room and it was my mom and me, and I was playing in front of the TV. It was like a vase on the middle of the mantle, and it just kind of levitated and came out like, I would say about, you know, 14, 15 inches, and then just fell right onto the hearth and, you know, exploded and shattered glass. And it was just like one of the weirdest things I've ever seen too. And my mom just was speechless. And she started like, I don't know, she was crying kind of. I think she went and found out it was like a little boy who died in the house, fell down the back steps, and then they brought him to the house. And that's kind of what I remember her saying to me.
Yeah, I think she told me that too, that she went and looked it up downtown Seattle and found out that a little boy had died there. So I was too young to ask for confirmation of that and see the paperwork, because that just wasn't in the cards. But that's what she told us.
Yeah, that's what I remember too. So like, he fell down the back steps. So that was a little boy that I was seeing. That's the way I look at it, as I remember it all.
I think that's actually pretty cool that she took the time to go look into that. Not a lot of people do that.
Yeah, she did.
And the reason we did it is because they did a Ouija board thing, which just, I'm not endorsing that. But she did do that. And I remember that part, having names spelled out and stuff, although I don't remember names.
Well, didn't we call Harvey for some reason? I think we called him Harvey for a while, and then she found out his name, and I can't remember what she
did. I don't remember.
But we always had Harvey the ghost in the house, because it was always turning the water on, or the washer or the dryer would come on by themselves downstairs. And that downstairs was creepy as it is. I mean, the house is creepy. It's in Magnolia. It's just, that's over in Seattle up on the hill. But, you know, it was built in like 1909 or something.
Yeah. So, and this was the 30s, I think. So when that happened, when the little boy supposedly died.
It's definitely haunted. There's just no doubt in my mind.
But it wasn't in a scary way.
No, no.
I was never scared. Oh. And
I was more mad when I lived there at the little thing.
You're mad?
Well, kind of, because it was, I wanted to be with my dad, you know. I was kind of jealous of it. It was always following him.
Yeah, because that, he got to be with your dad at all times, especially since your dad couldn't even see him. So he got to go wherever he went.
Yeah, I was pretty young then.
Now, did this get brought up to your dad, and what did he say about it?
No, he was a truck driver, so that's why you only get him for so long, you know. He'd be home and then gone for a week, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I never honestly heard him say anything about it. Only mom. And then I had my own experience, and then I heard an experience both my grandma and my aunt had when they were there, when they were living there, when they were staying with us. But I never heard Dad say anything about it.
I didn't either. But he wasn't around. He's always gone on the road.
Now, your grandma and your aunt, did they actually see him, or it was more this stuff is moving or turning on and off?
Well, my grandma was in the bedroom where the guest bedroom is, and she heard something under the bed. So she got out and looked underneath the bed, and there was nothing there. And then she got back in bed, and then she heard it again. And I think the third time she got up and got dressed, called a taxi, and went in the front room and waited, and that was it. She was out.
Oh, yeah. Don't blame
her. She didn't want anything more to do with it. And then my aunt said that something lay down next to her in the bed. I'm sorry, I can't remember exactly, because it's been a while since she told me that. But she had an experience in the same room. But I don't think she was necessarily scared of it. But
was that Aunt Finney?
Yes. Do you know it better?
No, I don't. I just remember not being very comfortable there.
Yeah. There was one time where I was in my bedroom, which is, it's just off the bathroom before you get to the living room. Anyway, I'm not going to explain the whole room, but I heard something in the kitchen moving pots and pans around. And I sat there for, it had to have been 20, 30 minutes just listening to that. I do not know why I didn't go into the kitchen and check it. I don't remember being particularly scared, but everyone was asleep and I knew there was nobody up and those pots and pans were moving around. There was a lot happening. I remember that very, very clearly. And then I just went back to bed. It never happened again. It was the only time it ever happened, but definitely clear and interesting.
So that was some early experiences for you guys. Now, the next things were, and correct me if I'm wrong, of course, but during the teen years, you said there was some UFO experiences and some, there was one that you both had and then a couple of solo ones concerning you, Joe. Is that where we need to go next, is these UFO experiences?
I think so. Why not? We can come back to the ghosts if you want to. I firmly remember a couple of the UFO things that when we were over in Idaho, we'd go there every year, my mom and all our family. We'd all pile into a old Chevy or something, station wagon, and then we'd go to the drive-in. So that one night we did that. And, you know, it's really nice, stars are shining, and we go to the drive-in, we're partying, and we're just, you know, teenagers, and it was having a good time. And then on the way home, it's, you know, it's a 45, 50 minute drive home or something. And then this thing starts following us, and Tim brought it up. So Tim can take some there.
Well, I was driving and I was watching something up in the sky. I thought it was an airplane. It was moving just across the sky. And then suddenly it did a 180 degree turn coming down. And I thought, you guys, can you believe that? Look at this thing, because I was trying to get their attention, and
we were looking. It was.
You started looking, but then I couldn't see it because I was driving, and then it was. Then they took it from there. But it nothing moves like that.
Out, and he was driving pretty fast, trying to get home, and it was just right on us. We never stopped us, but it was there, right there, and it just kind of. It would shoot around. So it would just be there and then come right back. And it was amazing. That's all I can say about that. And we were freaking out. We were all just yelling. Tim just, get us home or get out of here. We were going really fast. I remember that too.
How close do you guys think that it got?
Well, it's hard to, you know, at night. And that's pretty hard to say. I mean, I don't even want to. It was close enough where, oh my God, I mean, you could, I can't even explain it. It was just close and then it was gone. And then it would be closer and then it was gone. Oh, it's very, very weird.
Now, did it ever get close enough, or maybe the light is, I may answer my own question. Maybe the light was blocking, but did you ever get to see the shape of the actual craft, if it was a craft and not just a light?
Well, it was definitely, it was more like, it's just like a ball of light, but it wasn't a ball. It was more egg-shaped, or more like egg-shaped, but it wasn't a ball. It wasn't a ball, but it was all light. It was light, so it was pretty bright. So that's what I remember, and that was super long ago, but it was something that will always burn in your brain, that's for sure. I mean,
well, considering the movement that it made on the onset, and then the fact that it seemingly followed you guys, essentially, it sounds like it was sentient.
It was, I'm not quite sure, to be honest with you, but it was one of those experiences you don't forget.
Well, yeah, about, now, Joe, what about this? This was a solo sighting for you, but it had to do with some water.
I'm up in Hood Canal, and I was working. It was, I think, 94. And we're finishing up the day. And we're, you know, doing construction. And we're on this hill that goes, it's this, you know, you have to drive uphill. It's about I would say a 15 degree or something. It's a hill. You go up and wind up, you know, there's houses and trees, and you wind up in that. And we were just out in the driveway of one of those houses I was building. And we were all sitting there having a beer. It was like 4:30. It was Friday. I remember that. And we're just bullshitting. And all of a sudden, there's just whoosh, goes right over our heads. I mean, it was just like it was huge, you know. It was hard to see from side to side, but it was super fast. And it was a big, huge whoosh with like a wind coming through it. And when we were all, our hairs all blew, and there was salt water and seaweed and all kinds of crap that's coming down came down from the sky. To me, it was incredible. Now, I looked at my friends and stuff. They were just all like, what was that? And that's what it was. It was, what was that? You know, it just, to this day, I kind of crack up, because, you know, it's only for a second. It's just not even a second. It's just boom. That's totally burned into my head too. A couple people that were there are passed on now, but I know that they were bewildered, you know, as much as me. But I've always believed it was some sort of spaceship or something came out of the water. There's no doubt in my mind it was some sort of craft that flew over. It was going up the mountain, you know, just came out of the water and went straight up the mountain, up into the sky, and right over our heads. And it was something I'll never forget.
So are you guys of the mind that some or most or even all, who knows, some people are of this mind, but what percentage would you guess is ours? And do you think maybe it's a teeny tiny percentage that might be off planet stuff? Or do you think it's flip flopped?
I'm just going to say what I feel it is. I mean, I think it's something from another world or another planet or something. That's what I think. But my buddies tell me to go jump off a cliff, you know. Some of them think I'm a nut bar, and some of them think they agree with me.
Yeah, until they see one. Then they won't think you're so nutty, right?
Yeah, wait until you wait until you're in that situation, you know. What are you supposed to, keep it quiet, not talk about it, or what? I told everybody I could about it, and they all told me I was nuts, so it's all good. But it's not the first time.
Yeah, it's like, welcome to the club, right? We're a special bunch of folks, and we're okay with that.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that it's possibly both. We tend to think that we're here on this planet by ourselves, but it's very possible that we're not by ourselves, that things have lived here or resided here or lived here once and left and came back. I don't know. I think it has a lot of origin outside of our planet, but it could be very well that there's things living here that we don't know about, or only some people know about. So I think it's a very big universe with trillions of stars and trillions of galaxies. And there's a lot going out there that are, we don't maybe know about. So
I think you'd be a fool to think that we're the only ones.
Yeah. It's kind of egotistical, don't you think?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Tim, you had your own sighting as well, right? You and your friends.
Well, we went to a concert at Washington State University at the Performing Arts Coliseum there, and we went outside afterwards, and we something caught us our attention up in the sky, and someone saw it. I can't remember who saw it. We looked up there, and there was a triangle object, and it must have been. Well, I don't know how big it is, so I don't know how high it was, but it was pretty high, and it looked small for us. But it was a triangle, and it wasn't lit up. The only reason we saw it is because it was a lighter shade of black. And it looked like a grayish black, whereas the sky was black. And it was moving in like triangular geometric forms, back and forth, over and over, and stayed pretty much in the same area, moved all around that area in quick, straight lines that became triangles and squares. And it was really amazing. And we watched it for about 10 minutes and it just kept doing that. It didn't do anything else. It didn't go anywhere. I recently saw a show, some UFO people saying that the triangular UFOs that they think we're making today, they were suggesting that we were making those now, but they said that they, apparently some of the people have said they're capable of turning invisible so that nobody can see them. And it's got me thinking, I wonder if that was what one of those was. And we only saw it because it was a lighter shade, and that was because it was cloaked. I don't know. It was 30 years ago, though. So that's pretty good technology for us to have 30 years ago. But it was very interesting. We never felt threatened. It never did anything but what I suggested. And we finally honestly got bored because it didn't do anything else. And we didn't know what else to make with it. So we kind of just got in the car and went home.
And no one has a camera or anything at
we
that
time. We didn't have a camera back then. No, no one had cameras then. So not that you carried around in your pocket. But it was pretty interesting, though. And I called one of my friends after, because I recently, probably a year ago, saw that. Remember it came out that NASA was admitting that there was UFOs, and they mentioned one of them was a triangle and showed, I think, a video of it. And so I called my friend who was with me and I said, do you remember that? And she remembered it. It was pretty cool, but I've never seen it again since. So it's just one of those strange things.
Whether that was made here by us or off planet, either way, what it was doing, and by the way, I don't think I've ever quite heard of one just blatantly being like, hey, look at me here's what I'm doing. I'm going to essentially draw, quote unquote, geometric shapes in the sky, which is very strange. But that's unique to start off with, but it just seemed like a very blatant display to try to get people to notice it.
If anybody did, because we had to be lucky almost to see it because it was so light. It was just a little lighter than the night sky. There were no lights on it. And I don't even know if it knew we were watching it. It was pretty high. I mean, it was at least as high as an airplane would be flying, at least a smaller plane. And it was just different. And it wasn't really drawing lines. It was just moving geometrically in those lines.
Right.
And,
yeah. That's, yeah.
And so I don't think I would have seen it unless I think we pretty much got lucky to see it. Thankfully, someone was paying attention and they drew our attention to it. And then it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Somebody has good eyes there.
Yeah, I guess. I can't remember who saw it initially. There was four of us there. So, but it was pretty interesting.
Well, yeah. Anything else you guys want to add to the UFO subject before we move to Bigfoot?
I love to, stargaze and stuff. So I was just to throw this out there. I was stargazing the other. What was it about? How long ago, Tim, did I call you when I was all like?
About a month ago.
Was it? I thought it was more than that. Anyway, I was out looking at the stars. It's cold out. I see all these, like, moving, these stars moving kind of it was just amazing to see it. And you just don't see it. They were all, like, going in a line, little white balls of light. And I was just so freaked out. I called Tim. And I go, oh, my God, I saw something. And then I found out, like, the next day it was, like, SpaceX or something. But it was, to see it, it freaked me out. So I'm always looking at the stars.
Didn't you say they followed a line up into the sky and then disappeared?
Yeah, I did. It was amazing to see, but I'm pretty sure I saw it again on TV like a week later that it was SpaceX or something doing something. It was just, you had to be out there. It was still late at night. It was like 12 something at night and I saw it. But I swear, I thought it was something, spacecraft-wise. I'm sure of it. That's why I called Tim and woke him up.
Well, if it's SpaceX and they can do that, then they're spacecraft.
Yeah, exactly. It was a UFO to me.
Yeah, it was. Well, yeah, you can identify it. So technically that is a UFO, no matter what it is. So, yeah, I've seen one of the SpaceX rocket launches. And boy, okay. That will take you by surprise, because it just looks like, I mean, thank goodness they're going up and not down, because if you saw it going the other way, you would think it was like a world ending comet situation. Yep. You're like, well, here we go, the way of the dinosaurs. But yeah, it that freaks everybody out every single time those rocket launches go down. And yeah, the Starlink stuff is pretty dang cool.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, the Starlink.
Yeah, those are really cool to see. And I think that most of the sky guides and the star guide apps, I think now you can actually track those, just like you can track the ISS. Really? And all the rest of them. Yeah, I think you can see when they're coming by. And then once it's marked, you'll get notifications, and then you can actually go outside and watch them go over. So that's kind of a cool thing to do, actually.
Cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Sky Guide does that. That's a really good app that I frequently use. I can't see much out here in Vegas, but I try when I get the chance.
Yeah.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes. So doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Yeah,
well,
right.
Let's say we talk a little bit about the big guy. And before we get into the actual encounters, I would like to discuss just a little bit about the book and what made you guys decide to put this into a fictional work. Yeah, well, I mean, what was the setting for that? What was the discussion like there and the decision?
Wow, that's a one. I mean, we meet up here. And always doing something just to make sure we do something together, because he lives in Texas and I live in Washington. So, I mean, that's kind of how we started doing it. Once we're both into Bigfoot, I mean, and it just certain things, we started talking.
Well, I'll tell you, I remember exactly. We were up helping my uncle do some work, and I asked Joe once if. What's the weirdest thing he ever saw? Cause I don't remember knowing much about you and Bigfoot at that time. And you mentioned, that's when you told me this story. And I've been studying it since I watched the video, Creature from Bogey Creek. And I've always been fascinated with it, but I've never seen one. When you told me that story that he's going to tell y'all, I just thought, wow, this is awesome. And I started thinking about writing with it. And I'd been listening to a lot of Bigfoot stuff and podcasts and things. And what I was noticing is most of the literature that's done on Bigfoot is nonfiction. Being a teacher and knowing how kids think and everything, I thought, well, people are more motivated and interested in stories than they are in facts. And I thought, maybe if you could write some stories, in a novel type form, a fiction form, about Bigfoot or other creatures, you would make them people more believe in them more, maybe, or be more open to it. So I thought, well, maybe we could do that with this and see where that goes. And that's kind of what motivated me. And then I just had to finish it, because I'm good at having ideas and then not doing anything with them. And I didn't want to do that this time. So that's kind of how it came about for me. And Joel has just been involved ever since I started, and he listens to it and tells me different things. And so gave me different pointers at different times. So, and it developed over about 10 years.
Yeah, and we've been talking, I've been talking about the tomato fields to my brother for a long time. So the tomato fields are a real thing, you know.
That's his idea. That was Joe's idea, the name. So
it's kind of a, it's just kind of creepy stuff.
I mean, Tim, weren't you quite shocked, especially since you already, you were kind of into Bigfoot, and then to come to find out Joe has encounters? I mean, were you surprised by that?
I was shocked. I was initially shocked. In fact, I said, are you sure this? And he got kind of mad at me because he thought I was questioning him. But no, the fact that I knew someone who had an encounter that was this amazing, I thought it was great. Yes, and I was a little shocked at first, but it was cool. It's very cool. I kind of wish I had had one, but he tells me I don't really want
to. Yeah, you don't want to have one because you don't want to have one. It's, I mean, you might want to have one, but once you've had one, you don't want it ever again. So.
Well, I'll save anyway. The question that I have on my mind for after the encounter, because I bet it's going to answer that question. Well, yeah, let's dive in, if you don't mind, and let's hear all about this.
Well, it's a short story, but it's a real story. I've just, you know, bought a place up here. I was working on one of the, I had a trailer. I was working on the lights in the back of the trailer. And my house is on a hill. You know, it's a good, you know, 5-12 pitch hill. You know what that means. You know, I'm just out there working, and it's getting late in the day and stuff. I can smell something kind of at first, and it's just wafting down the hill from me, you know, and that's when the wind came in. I just look up and I just see this thing step right towards this, out of the trees, right towards there's a little, it's not the best of roads. So it just stepped right there. And I looked at it and I just was I couldn't speak or anything. And then, the thing just kind of stepped and was standing straight at me, looking straight at me, and just screamed. And it made this howl noise, a howl. Some of the howls I've heard on, you know, these Bigfoot shows, it was one of those, but it was ear piercing, where my ears almost rang. And I dropped everything and ran towards my house, got in my house, and there's a, I can see, I got windows right on the sides of my doors, and I got my gun, my shotgun, and I could see the thing, and it was still had that howl going, and I was scared completely. I don't even know how to explain it, but I'll never forget it. And then I was watching it, and it just took like three steps and it was back into the woods. It just turned and it was three steps back in the woods, and it was huge. And I could see it was just like a human face, but with hair on it. I mean, hair. It was looking at me. The eyes were black, I think, as I remember. And it was huge. And it was stinky. And it was one of the scariest things. I'll never forget it. I still have dreams about it, about that encounter. That's basically how it went down. There's not much more to it. I went up to look at the if there was tracks, but it was really dusty where it was standing, rocky and dusty. So the tracks weren't there. Anyway, it happened so fast. I mean, it just happened so fast. I almost pissed my pants, to be honest with you, as I was that scared. I didn't come out of the house for at least a half an hour after it walked back into the woods. But I came out with the shotgun. I kept that shotgun with me all night that day.
How tall do you think it was?
Oh, it had to be, I'm saying, 8 feet tall plus. That's where I'm going to go. And then definitely, like, because I had Tim go up there where the pole is. We took pictures. And the thing was twice as big as Tim, easily. I mean, it was Tim's. Tell Tim, you're 6 foot one? Or?
Yeah.
So it's twice, it was at least tall, and it was probably 3.5 feet wide or more. And it's black hair with black eyes, brownish or light black hair or something like that. That's what I remember. But I can remember the eyes are black and they are open. I mean, or they were just seemed like black holes that because it was really far away. But it was a scary. You don't want to see that thing. So I don't know why I get to see it. I don't know why. I don't even know why it was there. It's just, but it must be like I was telling Tim about the tomato fields. This is a long time ago. They used to dump that septic up on this hill and they just dump it. And tomatoes would grow. Big, big tomatoes. All at certain times, they'd bloom and there'd be a tomato fields. But it's all in the, you know, the septic field. And that's what I figured they were eating, going up and eating those tomatoes in the tomato fields. So, I mean, that's my story about that. I mean, it happens really fast.
Okay, so it steps out and you can pretty much see it head to you know, not really toe, but essentially, right? Well, The whole thing.
It absolutely stepped out and then stood there. It looked like it was just unbelievable. Yeah, it just stood there, but it yelled when I started running when it was yelling or whatever it was doing, howling. It's more like a howl, and it pierced my ears. So and my ears were ringing almost. So I mean, it was just I don't talk to it about this at all either to anybody because I don't want to. You know, as Tim had to coax me into talking about this stuff. So it came back too, like a week later, I could hear it up in the woods because there's nothing but woods. Now it's all been cut down and there's houses, a couple houses now here. But back then it was all trees and brush. I mean, it's so thick. You don't even, nobody goes in there because it was too, you know, it was just thick. Anyway, it came back. I could hear it up there going through and breaking branches one time. And I just had my shotgun. I just kind of stood my ground. I didn't run from it. But it didn't come down and it didn't yell. But I knew it was the thing, whatever the creature, Bigfoot.
I mean, I guess it's a good thing you smelled it before you saw it, but it still didn't prepare you for what was about to happen. So I guess, I can certainly understand why you would say, don't really want that on my property, especially since you're up there by yourself. Okay, so I have a few questions for you, Joe.
Yeah.
How long had you been living there at that point?
Well, I bought the place in 94, and that was it's a half city block. And it's all the trees behind me from the house. And all the way up to the tomato fields. So it was probably, I had the property for probably 2 years before I saw that thing, or a year and a half.
And you had been living there that whole time?
Yeah, but I work in Seattle, so I was commuting. So I wasn't here a lot.
Ah, so you'd kind of come and go. It's not like you were even there week on, week off. It could be longer stretches.
Absolutely, yeah.
And what about before you bought it? Was anybody there with another house or trailer or anything on that property?
It was the Cole's place. So they probably, there was a guy named Harry Cole. I remember him telling me there's a monster or something, saying something about that. And I just blew him off.
Really?
We were in the bar. And that was the son of Harry Cole Sr. That's who I bought the house from and the property. I don't know if I'm supposed to use their names, but they're all, you know, they're long gone, passed on. Harry Cole Jr. told me there was some kind of monster up there, but I remember him saying something about that in the bar to me. I just kind of blew him off, you know, like, I mean, we're just bar talking, right?
Of course.
Yeah, so I blew that off.
Then you're like, yeah, oh, shit, it's he was actually telling me the truth.
I know, yeah.
Oh, gosh. I can't imagine how humbling that must be. 9 feet tall, 8 to 9 feet tall, and 3 to 4 feet across at the shoulders, right? Or the chest. Forget it. Like, you're going, well, the shotgun probably felt like you were carrying a pellet gun or something.
Yeah, it didn't. Yeah. Oh, my God. You don't want to. Yeah. The shotgun didn't feel too good. didn't feel big enough.
How many neighbors were around there at that time? Obviously, you had a lot of acreage, so they weren't close. But were there a lot of other folks around there with property?
There are four houses around me at that time. And they're not close. So they're like, I don't know. They're just not close. They're all spread out. They all probably, I don't know, what they might have had their own encounters, but we kind of keep to our, I don't know, everybody just, no one talks about it. Except in the bar, remember, like I said, Harry told me something about it, but that was just bar talk, you know, at that time.
Joe, do you remember what time of year that would have been?
It had to be in the late August or something like that. It was because it was hot out. Pretty hot at that time. That's what I remember. And it had to be summer because it was hot. And I just know it was hot. I can remember being hot.
Yeah, it was ticked off that you were there. So, okay, so you go on these trips and then you come back, you know, from your commute, from your work. How long had you been back at that point, you know, from this latest trip? Had you just gotten back that day? Did you get back the day before?
No, probably the day before. Now that I think about it, it's probably, you know, on the weekend. So, I mean, because I was commuting to Seattle. So it had to be it was probably a Saturday.
Telling you, hey, man, give me my space back.
Yeah. Right. Not going to happen.
Pretty rude. It would have been enough just for him. We're assuming it's a him with the size like that. I'm sorry. I just do. It would have been enough probably just to step out, just the sheer size of the thing. But then to scream at you really was like cherry on top of the old ice cream there.
I've been watching TV. I've seen like the Patterson video. I mean, Patterson video is a woman, obviously. So I didn't see no breasts on this thing. This thing is all man. So I remember that it was a man.
So besides, you know, a couple weeks later at this point, I'm sure your senses are heightened and you can definitely go, okay, well, I just saw that. And now a couple weeks later, I'm hearing it moving around in the woods. Was there any other sign? Was there any strange things going on with trees or tree breaks or anything hitting the house or finding things around the house, anything like that?
No, but all I remember about that one was the smell. And then I grabbed my gun and then I kind of I went towards the smell where it was coming from. And then I started hearing trees break and branches and it go and scurry. It was not scurrying, but it was breaking its way through the tree and going up into the woods. Through a part, making its own path, you know, because that wasn't a trail. So it was down in there for some reason. I don't know why.
What the heck, but Joe? You didn't feel like following it? I mean, come on. I'm kidding.
I remember kind of going forward for just like a couple steps and then, nah, I just backed up. Especially when you hear the branches of the trees break. And I remember, I think I went up there with a friend. And we found branches, tree branches that, you know, they're broken off by something. And I heard them breaking off. That stuff that stays with you.
Did you ever get that whiff again at any point, but not see anything?
I have not. And now the trees and everything has been, they're all been cut down. It's like now there's houses up there and stuff. And
so you're in the same place.
I'm in the same place for 30 since 1994.
The address of the lady in the story is his address.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That's right. Yeah, it's my address. Yeah, it's pretty cool. A lot of stuff about Tim's book that he wrote, I just love it, is about where I live. So that's the fun part about it.
You're not worried about Bigfoot kooks coming around? And I mean, I know there's not a lot of forest there, but still.
Yeah, I'm not worried.
Then the shotgun comes in handy, see?
Yeah, a lot more than that shotgun, too.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
It's sad to hear, though, that a lot of the forest has been cut down. I know that's just the way of things, but that's sad.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, I'm a builder, too, so it just comes with the territory.
It does. I mean, all right, so Tim, you hear this story for the first time, and then obviously you hear it many, many times again and again, and then again in your head as you're writing this fictional story and molding it the way that you want to mold it. But so you do still think to this day that you would, even though hearing Joe say, you don't want that, you don't want to see this, saying it's a friggin' monster, are you're still of the mind that you would want a confirmation experience?
Well, I suppose it depends on how and when. I would like it if it was a degree of control you could have over that. But you know, what are the chances of that? So I know I have a really healthy respect for these things, and they are wild animals, and so you got to be super careful. So I would love to see one, but I would prefer it be in a situation where there was some control on my part and some protection. But if you could choose that, does that make sense?
Oh, 100%. I've said that too. You can't choose your encounter. It chooses you. But boy, it'd be nice to be able to do that. Because look at Joe. I mean, he's to many of us, he's struck gold. But to him, he's going, really? I live here. I don't want this. I don't want to see this and know this is in the backyard while I have my back turned. And here comes this essentially monster-sized creature that could just make you into a Louisville slugger against a tree, right?
That thing wanted to get to come down here and busted through the door in a second and grab you. And,
right.
You know, yeah.
I mean, if it wanted to, so I don't think, you know, I don't know what its deal was, but oh my God, I have bad dreams about the thing breaking through the door. I've had bad dreams like that. Just comes in and grabs me, you know?
Well, since I've read a lot of stories and heard a lot of stories, and I think that based on that and what Joe said, I think it was heading down to the water, and Joe got in the way. And I also think that's just what I just wonder that I don't know for sure, but I also I've heard that they emit the smell as a warning. That's something that they do, that intentionally do. And then the scream is obviously a warning. But like Joe said, it could have probably turned his trailer over. So it would easily break in a door, but they don't do that. I mean, they tend to be the one that backs off in a lot of the encounters that I've read about, which you would think if they were really crazed and wild, that it would be the opposite. But again, we only hear about the ones that survive.
That is true.
Maybe there's other stories that we just never hear that don't turn out so well. But it is it's just a fascinating subject. So seeing one would be, I would love to see one, but I'm just not sure.
Just to let you know, like there's a freshwater creek that comes like through it's underground creek, but it's right on the ground. It comes kind of through the property. So maybe it's just getting water too or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it could have been. Yep.
Absolutely.
And there's all kinds of deer and everything around you, or was. I mean, they're still here, the deer. They come right through the yard and there's an apple tree and picking and eating the apples. So, I mean, who knows what it was doing, you know? But I haven't seen it since. So, and I haven't even smelled it since. So, but I would get quivers when certain time of night and stuff. I mean, here. Oh my God. I keep my head on a swivel.
I mean, Joe, didn't that in a way, when it happened, I mean, you obviously, it sounds like you still occasionally have the nightmare about it, but back then, did it change your day to day at all? You going out at night or your quality of sleep, anything like that?
Oh, totally. I just stopped. I didn't go out. I would go into the woods a lot, you know. I like to camp and stuff. I just kind of changed me a lot about that. I just don't do it no more. I mean, I think that's a big reason. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying I'm a chicken or scared or something. I just kind of stopped. It changed me.
So even to this day, you're not going to go out, you know, with a single person tent and go camping or something?
No, not me. No.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you a bit. Yeah. You're not a chicken. I mean, look at what you experienced. Look at what you saw.
Yeah, I didn't want to do that.
Didn't you have friends, too, who said they were camping down by the river down there? And
yeah. Tell me their stories, too, that they've had. Like, one time they were down at the Skok River down here, and they were camping right on the river, and they had a trailer. Anyway, they were right up on this, back against a hill full of, you know, just a mass of trees, and then right on the beach or the river bed, and that's where they were camping. And anyway, they were at the fire pit and stuff, and then these big something was getting, you know, it goes kapoosh in the water right in front of them. And so it had to come from out the tree line. And then, I mean, something's throwing big old like boulders, they told me. And they said there was like seven of them. And then they just packed up and left. So that's one story, you know, that I've heard. That was, I'd pack up at the first rock if it was a rock thrown in like that big. But it's pretty scary, you know. I just know it's out. So definitely in far out places by the water or the riverbeds, they're there. Especially over here in the Olympics, the Cascades, the Olympics, the Olympic Mountains are full of them, I believe.
Well, we know that Tim was interested in Bigfoot even prior to hearing his own brother's story. Well, what about you, Joe? We're at this point in time, you've had your sighting, but all those years before that, were you at all interested in Bigfoot?
I was interested in ghosts, Bigfoot, kinds of UFO, all that stuff, all my life since when I can remember, because of ghosts. I mean, I've seen ghosts, and I see them. To be honest, I've seen them in my own house right here. There's a ghost story. There's a ghost here. One of the Coles family, or I don't know if it was the Coles, maybe it was someone before that, but they killed themselves in one of the rooms of this house I'm in. When I bought the house, the old man told me, he goes, see this bowling ball here? I go, yeah, and it's on the corner of the house. And he says, don't move that bowling ball. Just promise me that when you, and I said, well, why? He goes, well, it'll just be bad omen or something like that. Some kind of spirit. He said, you want to ruffle up some sort of spirit or something like that. And I just said, okay. And he didn't tell me about someone killing himself. Someone told me about that years later. The point is, he didn't want me to, that's bowling ball, is the guy's bowling ball who killed himself.
So what kind of activity do you have in the home?
Well, just a tall shadow figure. He was tall, I suppose. So I see him kind of peeking out one of the doorways, and it just kind of freaks me out. My girlfriend says he dances sometimes, and I don't know what to make of that. He's never danced for me, but she says she sees him dancing in the living room or something with the top hat. And I'm like, man, you're nuts. But I've never seen that. But I've seen a shadow figure for sure.
Wait, but when you see him, does he ever have the hat on?
No.
Huh.
But yeah, I just all I know is, you know, that's what I've heard. But I've seen shadows and doors sometimes open a little bit here or something there, and curtains move. I mean, it's here.
But you do feel like it's one entity and not two different things.
No, I just feel it's one. Maybe there's two. I don't know. Maybe she sees something else. I don't go looking for it, you know. I'm not looking for it. It's just a story, you know. When I bought the house, the bowling ball, he didn't tell me someone killed himself. Someone told me that later down the road that someone killed himself. And it's in it's bedroom my bed's in right now.
Mm.
And it's just
did you ever move the ball, Joe?
No, never.
No,
still there. Yeah, and I bought the place in '94. So you guys, you know. And the bowling ball is still there. I'm not going to move it. And I don't want to. He said, you'll rustle up some spirits.
Well, they're already rustled, though. So, yeah, heaven forbid he actually move it. I mean, what's going to happen then?
Well, I know. So I'm not going to find out.
Well, I just, It's, you know, it's the ultimate question because, you know, is it all one thing that manifests as different entities or is it one thing, different things? In fact, I just find it of interest that your girlfriend, when she sees essentially a shadow figure, but then it has this hat, we know that there is something called the Hat Man, which, yes, it's a shadow figure being, but is it the same thing as, you know, maybe is it the same as the shadow people that I saw in the woods all those years ago? When you see your entity, if we're going to call it that, your entity does not don a hat. So, yeah, I mean, is it the same thing? Is it just tailored to each one of you the way that you're supposed to see it? I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's kind of, I think you're on the right path there because I think everybody sees what they see. She sees it in a different light, that's for sure. So, but I see him. He's here and he's tall. So he hasn't been, he's right at the top of the doors.
Now, does it scare her at all when she sees it?
She's not scared. I guess I've had a girlfriend that was kind of scared of one when not, but this girlfriend of mine, she's not scared.
But you never, you guys, neither one of you or anybody has ever woken to it standing over the bed or anything foreboding like that?
Like that. So well, I don't know. That's why I moved the bowling ball.
yeah. Make sure nobody friggin' touches that, man. Like, never hire like a cleaning person or a moving person or anything. And you're like, listen, leave that thing alone. Don't even look at it.
Don't even look at it. That's right. That's yeah.
Sometimes it's good to take heed of advice, right?
Yes.
Well, I really appreciate you guys coming on. Any final thoughts before we close out? And if there are none, I want to make sure that you guys let everybody know where to find the book, Tomato Fields.
Yeah, absolutely. Tomato Fields are real.
If you just go on to Amazon and type Tomato Fields, and you can type my name too, Tim Moon, it'll come right up. And it's out in paperback and electronic, an ebook. You can also read it on Kindle Direct if you have that program.
Yeah, you really can't miss it. So, it's got a Bigfoot staring right at you with the big old peepers, so you cannot miss the cover. I like the cover, by the way.
I've had a lot of people who I had to kind of do it on a shoestring, and a lot of trial and error since it's the first book I've done. But I've had a lot of really good reviews, and it's gone really well. So I think people will like it. And it's scary too. I've heard some funny things happen while people are reading it.
Yeah,
I
never intended that.
Well, what sorts of things?
Well, Joe can tell you.
Oh, well, I have this ex-girlfriend, and she said she was in the bathtub or something reading a book, and all of a sudden, I mean, this water burst behind the toilet and then came and shot over at her, and right during the scariest part. She jumped out of the tub and was just all over calling for her boyfriend, and that was just one thing, but that's one thing I heard. There's a couple other ones, but I can't really go into it.
There was one time when I was writing and I was at my office and this bird just hit the window. I'd never seen that kind of bird before. It was red and they just don't have those around here. And it was like poking on the window, trying to get in. It was really bizarre. I'll never forget that. But that was while I was actually writing part of the book. So I wondered if that was an omen of some kind. I don't know.
Do you remember what part of the book you were at?
No, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's all right.
I've read it and written it and rewritten it a thousand times. So it was interesting though when it happened.
Okay, well, I'm kind of excited to get my copy because I don't know if you guys ever heard me say this, but I have I'm about as sensitive and paranormally attractive as a rock. So maybe while I'm reading Tomato Fields, I'll have something happen. I don't know.
Well, I've got them on order right now, and as soon as I get one, I'm going to mail it to you. Oh,
I'm excited. Thank you so much, Tim.
Yeah, thank you. We really appreciate the chance to share with you.
Well, I'm so-and-so. I was given this name by my parents. I've been to such and such a college. I've done these things in my profession. I produce a little fire. The Buddha says, forget it. That's not true. That's some story. That's all gone. That's all past. I want to see the real you are now. When nobody knows who that is. Because we don't know ourselves except through listening to our echoes and consulting our memories. But then there's a real evil, and that again leads us back to this question. Who are you? That is the meaning. We shall see how they play with this exam. By the koans, to get you to come out of your shell and find out who you really are.
Thank you.
says, when you settle down in the train to read your newspaper and so on, you are not the same person who a little while ago left the platform. If you think you are linking your moments up in the chain. And this is what binds you to the wheel of birth and death. But when you know that every moment in which you are is the only moment, this comes into Zen. A master will say to somebody, now get up and walk across the room. And he comes back and he says, where are your footprints? They've gone. So where are you? Who are you? When we are asked who we are, we usually give a kind of recitation of a history.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise. Having fun in the sun or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.